Few of us don't know that, few of you don't know that Mr. Billy, not too long ago, someone was complaining about his hearing loss. And so he decided to get a hearing aid. And he got one. You couldn't tell he had a hearing aid. He went to his next door neighbor and bragged about the fact he's now wearing a hearing aid. And he told the neighbor all about it. He said, it cost me $4,000. He said, this thing is perfect. His neighbor said to him, what kind is it? 1230. Today we're going to look at one verse from the book of Ecclesiastes. And another verse from the book of Proverbs to get our lesson started today. Both scripture verses deal with the same thing. And our topic for today is a good name. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 1, Solomon writes, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. And I was thinking about the precious ointment. How can that be? A good name is better. So I asked my wife, I said, what is the best ointment that you have available to you right now? The most expensive ointment that you have. And she says, I have something that I'm not supposed to have. And I said, well, what's that? She says, the dermatologist gave it, well, you know, beating around the bush for a little while. The dermatologist gave it to me. And I said, well, what's it for? She said, it's for a number of things. I said, what is most important? What's the most important application for it? And she said, wrinkles. She also mentioned rosacea. And what's the pimples, zits, whatever they call them. This is called Retina A, Retina A. It's a micro made by a particular company for what I just mentioned. We know that ointment has a healing quality, or we wouldn't use it, a soothing quality. We wouldn't use it. When you were young, when I was young, I had a problem, a very serious problem. The problem was that I had boils, and I had those most of my early life, from as early as I can remember, to about age 16, 17. And my mother was a doctor. She didn't have a license, but she was a doctor. And she knew how. She had an ointment that she used. I can't remember the name of it. I think it had something to do with Raleigh. I'm not sure. That name was in it somehow. And it was this brown salve that you use for certain problems that you have, skin irritation. Well, she would put that on the boil, and she'd wrap that thing and bandage it. In a couple of days, I could take that bandage off, and that boil was in the process of disappearing. Now, if anything, you know anything about boils, you get a big head on a boil, filled with, the word is, I don't know what other word I have to use it, but pus, that's what they called it. And it was very toxic. And so you had to get rid of that. She never lanced it. Most people would lance the boils, but my mother never would do that. But she put that on there and she'd wrap that up, and a few days later, that thing was in the process of remission. It was, but the problem was, it wouldn't be long after that I'd have one somewhere else. And it'd go through the same process. Now that salve that she used for me was very precious, wasn't it? Everyone, poison ivy is another one where you can experience discomfort for a long period of time if you're susceptible to the poison, the whatever is released in this poison ivy, poison oak. And it can really make your life miserable for a period of time. But when you find something that makes it feel better and it starts to leave, heal, you're just so... Would you rather have that boil disappear, or would you rather have a good name? What's more important to you at the time? You could care less about your name. You want to get rid of the problem that you have. But a good name, what are the characteristics of a good name? What are the characteristics of a good name?
Honesty.
Honesty. First word pops into your mind. First word, not one of the first words I wrote down. Honesty. Integrity.
Character.
Kindness.
Kindness. I have to speak a little louder. Remember, I told you I can't hear. I need Billy's hearing aid.
That's 12.
No, that's what kind is. What kind? Not what time is it. It's what kind. Something else.
Faithful.
Don't people spend a lot of time retaining their good name, and don't anyone in the family mess it up, right? Your good name, your family name is very important to you. If not, you ask your parents. My mother liked to take naps. And I took a nap along with the rest of her family until I was about 14. When Mom took a nap, all of the kids were in the house taking a nap. Well, we didn't take a nap, but we were in the house and we were supposed to be taking a nap. Why? Because my mother got tired of people telling her, you gotta watch out for your kids. They get into everything. If a window is broken in town, we did it. So Mom said, if she's taking a nap, she can't see us, and she doesn't know what we've gotten into. But if we're with her in the house, and something happens, you can't blame my kids. And the feral name in the community, my mother sought to protect her good name with her bad kids. Sometimes the things that happened, we were responsible for it. But you, me, others, go through a long, drawn-out process in order to keep the name that is good. When you have a credit, what do you call it, evaluation, what is it, you know, good credit, what's it based on? How well you pay your bills, right? And if your bills are up to date, you have a good name. They'll extend you a line of credit, right? Now, if you don't, forget it. If you file for bankruptcy, what happens? It takes 7 years for you to get back your good name with the credit company, right? As preacher would say, do something, nod your head, you know. That's right, isn't it? Am I saying something that's strange? Everyone so far in here has experienced some aspect of someone saying to you, or you saying to someone, or your parents, or someone else in the history of your family, boy, you really messed up. And our good name, our family name, isn't what it ought to be because of something that you've done. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse 1, the writer of the book of Proverbs, who's the writer of the book of Proverbs?
Solomon.
Same one. He says, a good name is better than what? Than riches. Oh, you mean to tell me that if I offered you a good name on the one hand and riches on the other hand, what hand would you take? What would you want? Would you care about your name or would you care more about the riches? So, a good name is better than precious ointment. Now, precious ointment means the best kind, the best that's available. Riches, such as Solomon could speak of riches because he was the richest man, the richest king, perhaps, that ever existed. But he says, a good name is better than riches. How many in here are proud of your name? Yeah. Who's not? Who's not proud of your name? We have people from all walks of life. We have people in all types of business, all types of activity. You in your neighborhood, you either have a good name or you have a bad name. People in your neighborhood, whether you know it or not, watch you. Mr. Billy, didn't you tell me your neighbors watch you? Where's your hand? I had a neighbor tell me one day, it's 6:30, Sunday. Aren't you supposed to be in church? I was walking around the yard. She lives across the street. She had the audacity to come across the street and say to me, aren't you supposed to be in church today, tonight, this afternoon, whatever? And I said, yes. I said, I'm having a pity party. And she said, why? Now, this lady is not a born-again Christian. And so we talked. And she told me about her experiences in church and why she doesn't go anymore. But she says, I watch your family. I can set my watch by the time that you leave your house every Sunday. I know where you're going because you're all dressed up. I know you're going to church. You've told me about it. Don't tell me that your neighbors don't care about what you do, because they do care about what you do. They do care about what they see. They do care about your life to some degree. And we talked for a long time. Needless to say, I didn't go to church that Sunday night. But that was the first time, and I said, by the grace of God, it's going to be the last time someone tells me, you ought to be in church. Now, I could have said, well, you know, I'm never going to set foot in the church again, just like you. I said, you and me, we'll just go off someplace and have a cup of tea. But the following Sunday, of course, I was back to my normal self, whatever that is. But that intervention on her part, and I believe things don't happen by accident. I believe that lady, my neighbor, was concerned about my spiritual life and not hers. My name, Chuck Farrell, goes to church. The Farrells go to church. The Farrells invited us to go to church. And so they check you out. Your name is important to them. I had a friend, and I've mentioned his name a number of occasions, who to me, before I became a Christian, did not have a good name. He was a born-again believer. He was my Sunday school teacher. And he aggravated me to death about why I'm not in Sunday school. When I got saved, he had the best name in town, as far as I was concerned. He had the best name in town. He was my friend. He was my buddy. He was my mentor. He was the one who taught me scripture. He was the one who taught me to appreciate the Word of God. And the man only had an 8th grade education. But he taught me what I needed to know early on as a Christian. Do you think our church has a good name? What would we do to create something that would not give it a good name?
Drop our standards.
Drop standards.
Unfriendliness.
Being unfriendly. Having arguments in the church. A lot of churches have arguments, don't they? A lot of churches split because of arguments, don't they? And some in here maybe have been involved in an argument or discussion that turned into an argument. Yeah, turmoil in the church. I can take you to two churches in New Jersey who lost their good name because of the inconsistency of the pastors. There is an account in the book of Judges, chapter 13. Turn to chapter 13 in the book of Judges. This concerns a name. Now, in the Word of God, our Creator has been given many names. His name is not just Jehovah, although He is Jehovah. His name is not just Yahweh, even though His name is Yahweh. His name is not just the Lord Jesus Christ. He has many names. One of those names is that He's an angel of the Lord, a theophany, a presence of Jesus Christ on earth before His incarnation. Now, in this scripture in the book of Judges, chapter 13, you know the history behind the life of Manoah. He's married, he has a wife who's barren. The angel of the Lord appears unto her and tells her that she's going to have a child, because this child is going to judge Israel. In fact, the angel of the Lord appears twice to her and reminds her of the fact that she is going to have a child. Each time, Manoah is not present. On the second occasion, Manoah's wife grabs her husband and runs with him to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord explains to Manoah about his wife, what she has to do, how she has to be. Isn't that amazing? Back, 3,000 years ago, women who were pregnant were told by God what to eat, how to make yourself healthy so that you can have a healthy child. Isn't that what we do today? But back then, Mrs. Manoah was told the kind of diet that she was to have so that the child would be healthy. And Manoah, eventually understanding who this person might be, says, "What is your name?" What is your name? He wants to know the name. If you ever met an angel of the Lord, his appearance would be like your appearance. And you would have no idea who you're talking to. Manoah once says to the angel of the Lord, he says, "I want to know who you are so that when later, when this comes to pass, I can blame it on someone if it doesn't happen." He wanted to check it out. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "You do not need to know my name." Jesus did not disclose himself to Manoah, if you see this as a theophany, if he's just an angel of the Lord. But how does this angel who has no name leave the presence of Manoah and his wife? What was Manoah required to do in response to God's blessing? What did he do? He made a sacrifice, didn't he? And the fire from the sacrifice, the angel of the Lord ascends into heaven in this fire from the sacrifice. I don't find that anywhere else in the Word of God where such a thing like that occurred, except, of course, with Elijah. Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says he was not. Wouldn't it have been, this is a theological word I use, cool, if the angel had disclosed his name? You said, well, Chuck, the Bible doesn't tell us that he had to or would. What's the point? The point I'm making is the fact that the person's name was so important as far as Manoah was concerned. Good name. Tell me your name. Who are you? But the angel of the Lord refuses to do so. There's another situation in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. I'm sure all of us are familiar with this experience as well. Moses is a shepherd. Moses was trained 40 years to serve in the court of Pharaoh. He was actually the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the privileges of rank. He could come and go as he pleased. He had the wealth, perhaps, of Egypt at his hands, at his fingertips. But he winds up herding sheep for his father-in-law. Did you ever work for your father-in-law? Anyway, herding sheep. Spends 40 years in that occupation. Then God calls him. The experience in the burning bush. God appears to Moses in the burning bush and calls Moses to deliver his people from Israel. Exodus chapter 3. And Moses says, in response to the call, who are you? What is your name? If I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, who are you? What is your name? How can I identify with the people that I am their leader? What can I say to them to get their attention so that they will understand this shepherd, this outlaw, that you've called me to do this? Moses said unto God, verse 13, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of our fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Was it important for Moses to identify the person who had called him to the people? How can Moses take a message if it's just left that? And Moses now goes to the people and says, hey, God told me that I'm supposed to take you people out of the land of Egypt and take you to the promised land. I don't know the first thing about tourism, but I'm going to do this. And the people would say to Moses, who are you? How can you do what you say? Well, we got a lot of people around here saying they come from, God has told them this, God has told them that. Now, why should I believe you, Moses, that you're going to take these thousands upon thousands of people out of the land of Egypt with their cattle, with their little ones, with the old ones? And so Moses says, before I do that, get myself in trouble, I got to find out who it is I'm talking to. I've got to tell the people Your name. Did God have to tell Moses his name? Did he? No. He didn't have to tell him his name. But God did. And the most famous identification of God in the Old Testament is in this portion of Scripture. Even beyond his name as creator, as Elohim, I am that I am, has sent you. How moving would that be if we had never heard that name before? Would it capture our attention? Would it give us the motivation now to do the very thing that God said, I want you to do, Moses? Moses says, when the people tell you or ask you, who sent you to do this? You tell them that I am the eternal God. I am that I am. I will always be God. I am God. Jesus used the very identification, didn't he? On a number of occasions in the New Testament when he said, I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. Same identification. I am that I am. To us, we do not see the significance. If we were just to read this for the first time, if we were to have no knowledge, it probably would not make any impact on us. But because of that name, Moses was successful. Didn't have an easy path, but he was successful. In the New Testament, turn to the book of Philippians. How much time do I have, Mr. Bill?
5 minutes.
The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess him. What a name. The Bible tells us that we have a new name written down in glory. That comes from a hymn. But it means the same thing. You turn to the book of Revelation, that which was awarded to the church is you'll have a new name. I don't know if you've seen this paper this week or not. This young man on the front page says of himself that he didn't know how to stay out of trouble. He got into with the wrong people. He did the wrong things. That to me is making excuses for yourself. But he's trying to rehabilitate himself. His name has been destroyed because of the charges that have been brought against him. There's a $200,000 bond. He can't get out of prison. He can't get out of jail. His family can't meet that cost. So he's in jail, been there for 6 months. And his trial date is later, I think in August sometime. But it sounds to me, by looking and reading that article, that he's trying to rehabilitate himself. He's graduated from high school while in jail, and he cooperated with the West Johnston High School so that he could do that. And he's received his diploma. He received it while in jail. He wants to change his life. He wants to live right. How can he do it? How can he do it? His name is Robbie Elliott. His name now is ruined. But if this young man is prayed for by our church, by other Christians, God can save this young person's life. Turn his life around. That's the only thing that's really going to make a change in his life. That's the only way that he's going to have a new name. He's my sister's grandchild. He needs to be saved. Pray for him that he would. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Father, that you've changed our lives. That, Lord, you've given to us a new name. We use the name Christian to identify what we believe, but that new name is significant only to you. And what is brought to bear to make that change take place. We can talk about grace, we can talk about salvation, we can talk about accepting the Lord in our hearts. All we want to, until we get to the place where we become serious about how that is done. Father, I pray for young people like Robbie. I pray for families who have difficulties with their children. And the name of the family, to some extent, ruined because of behavior. Because of what is done. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We know that. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to be serious in our time of prayer for our family, for those whom we know personally who may be having difficulties, Lord. Pray for them. Be sincere and bring their names before your throne. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can worship you freely and we can be together in this type of a meeting and move into our worship service. We ask for your blessing. Pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified in all that's said through the preaching of the pastor, Father, and through the singing of the Word of God. May we be drawn closer to you, to love you as you would have us love you. In Jesus' name.